Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. And today's episode is the third episode in a series of three where I've been talking about mobility and keeping yourself mobile to keep yourself out of pain. Today's podcast is all about your pelvis and how your pelvic muscles, so your glute muscles, so your butt muscles, also your muscles on the front of your hips, your hip flexors, and your iliotibial band, this big tendon that goes down the side of your legs, can cause serious issues for you. And when they lock up, they can cause back pain. In particular, these guys are serious buggers. And I'm going to go through all the details. I'm going to talk about the muscles. I'm going to talk about ways to keep them open and moving properly, because this is a common issue with a lot of folks. I would say about 75% of the time, when patients come into my office and they have low back pain, it's not their spine at all. It's not any of their spinal muscles. It's actually their gluteal muscles or their hip flexors, the ones that are in front of their hips. Now, this podcast is perfect for today because I actually am dealing with some pain myself. I tweaked my pelvis about a week ago in the gym, and I did a good number on it yesterday. Once again, trying to work on walking on my hands, which my father said, okay, are you done yet? Because of course, if you've listened to any of my other podcasts, in particular the last podcast, I twisted my ankle and sprained it pretty good last year when I was walking on my hands and when I didn't have my muscles mobile enough. And so let me tell you a little bit later today how that went down to give you a little sense of how these things happen and how it can happen to you. Because most of the time I do not have back pain. It just happens to be little tweaks here and there. And for some of you, that might be something that you experience as well, is that you're good most of the time, but then there's these episodes where you're pretty much rendered useless. You can't get out of bed. You can't move because your back's seizing up. And most of the time it is your pelvis. So let's talk a little bit about why I see these things and what's happening. So there is a huge connection between tight hip flexors. And your tight hip flexors are right in the front of your pelvis. These guys are contracted all the time when you're sitting. So this is often why we tend to have more back pain when we go on long drives, so road trips, or we're sitting in a plane for a long period of time, or we're at a conference or something of that nature. That's one of the big reasons, because those hip flexors, they pull your pelvis forwards. And sometimes if one of them decides to be tighter than the other, it's going to pull one side of your pelvis forward and the other side of your pelvis is going to be backward. And so now you've got a twisted pelvis, which is real fun for back pain. And that's typically why sometimes we'll have one-sided versus double-sided or both-sided back pain. So just to give you a little example here, I want you to put your hands on your hips. So put your hands on your hips and then slide your fingers backwards. When you slide your fingers backwards, your fingers kind of go into a little divot between your L4 and L5 vertebrae. Now, of course, that's your spine. But your hands are on your hip bones. These are your ilium. That's a big wing bone that you have. Now, if you take your thumbs that you have between your fourth and the fifth vertebrae and you slide them out laterally, you're going to run into a little nub. That is your posterior superior iliac spine. What that is the connection of your sacrum to your big wing bone, the ilium. A lot of times this spot right there is a source of pain. And a lot of people will tell me that's where they hurt. Now, my first thing I'm going to do there is go back to the hips and go, are the hips even? So when you put your hands to the top of your hips and you slid your fingers backwards, did your thumbs line up? Or did you notice that one thumb slid on top of the other, so one thumb was higher than the other? That is an imbalance between your pelvic muscles. Now, the next thing I want you to do is go back to that posterior superior iliac spine. So that's that connection between the sacrum and the ilium. Are those areas even? Like, does it feel like one's poking backwards on you? Now, the other way to know if you're kind of like, I have no idea, is if you lay on the ground and you have your knees up and your feet are flat on the floor, does your pelvis, so does your low back feel like it's laying on the floor evenly? Does it feel like those two areas are touching? That gives you a really good indication of what's going on. If one area is touching and the other area is not, if that posterior superior iliac spine, say on the left, is not touching the ground when you're laying on your back, but the right is, that means that left side is tilted forward and that your left iliopsoas, which is this muscle that goes from your vertebrae just under your rib, so it goes from just, if you look at your belly button, just over to the side and up a little bit, and then it goes all the way down to the front of your hip as it attaches to the groin, that is your iliopsoas. Now, that's the psoas portion. It also has something called the ilium that comes in from the big wing bone, and they connect together and go to the front of your pelvis. Now, if you have pain when you kind of take your finger and you move it over from your belly button and you press your hand down and you go all the way down to towards your pelvis, that could be your psoas. Another way to know about this is if you are laying on your back, you can actually bring your knee up. So press in deep into your abdomen, bring your knee up. If you feel a muscle coming up and that muscle hurts, that is your psoas. That is your iliopsoas. And that sucker is what is connected to low back pain, which seems really crazy, but it's really common. And I have a lot of patients that will go and get massage, and the massage therapist will focus all on their back and their glutes and their legs, but the massage therapist won't go to the hip flexor. And so the patient leaves feeling pretty good, and then an hour later, they're back to their back pain. That is an iliopsoas issue. So now, if you did do the little test that I was talking about, where you put your hands on your hips and you slide your fingers back and you see that your pelvis is out of alignment, so you see that your one thumb slid over your other versus connecting directly evenly, and you have, say, one hip higher than the other, I want you to kind of poke around on your back and just a little bit kind of up from where that posterior superior iliac spine was, so where that spot that usually hurts, the connection between the ilium and the sacrum. If you slide up a little and you find some tight spots, that could be your quadratus lumborum. This is a muscle that often will spasm when you have an iliopsoas issue, so a hip flexor issue in the front of your body going on. Now, there is a huge connection between these tight hip flexors, so the iliopsoas, but there's also a couple other guys there. There's one called the pectineus, one called the TFL. And don't worry, I'm not going to quiz you on these names, but I want you to go to your low pelvis. So if you can feel your hip bones where they come out at the front of your body there, these nubby bones, or if you want, you can go back to your hips, put your hands on your hips and you can feel the top of your hip bone and slide forward, you'll feel a tight muscle. Most of us have some tightness to the front of our hips, but if you feel pain in there, that is a pretty strong indication that you have really tight hip flexors, and those guys are going to pull you forward. The more you sit at a desk, the more they're going to pull you forward. Even standing desks, you're going to have some sense of pulling forward because most of us are leaning forward to type on our computers and look at our computer screens. So standing desks, while they might be better for keeping our muscles a little bit stretched out, they're not the best because a lot of us aren't working on rocking back and forth, working on moving still, or just standing there. So now I want you to come out to the side of your legs, and so the side of your hips. And I want you to kind of slide your fingers down. There's a hip bone out there called the greater trochanter. I want you to press on that guy, that bone that kind of sticks out just a little bit below the front of your hips. And then I want you to take your fingers and go back towards your glutes. And I want you to see if there are any spots that hurt there. Just make a mental note. And take your fingers as you're feeling behind your, so kind of like where your hips on the side and where your glute muscles kind of attach into the side of your body. I want you to press around there. And then I want you to come up as you're headed up towards the top of your hips again. Any painful spots in there, make note. Now what I want you to do is take your fingers and I want you to go back to the midline of your spine. And I want you to slide your fingers down the midline almost to your butt crack. Yes, I said it. Now go out laterally and that's the side of your sacrum. Any spots that hurt out there? If you do, make a mental note of those spots. These are spots that I'm going to recommend you get a lacrosse ball or you get a foam roller and you work on rolling those spots. And this is something you can do at home. Now, if you have an acupuncturist or massage therapist, I'm going to highly recommend you point out these spots to that person because these folks need to pay attention to these areas on you because these are attachment points. of your gluteal muscles and your IT band as it comes down the side of your leg. These are attachment points that are hugely important and need to be released to get rid of your back pain, if it's chronic back pain or even if it happens in the moment. I see a huge, huge connection with your iliotibial band. So this is that band that's on the side of your leg and goes all the way down to your knee. You might even have pain at just below your knee on the outside on this bone called the fibula. You might even have pain all the way on the outside of your knee. And that is tight iliotibial band. And sometimes I'll see that kind of pain with runners. I'll also see it with jumpers. I'll see it with skiers. And I'll see it also when someone has a pelvis that's really, really tight. So let's go back into what the heck can you do about it? Like, what is the issue here? Well, oftentimes, like I said, from sitting too long, sitting in conferences, sitting driving, etc. Also, there's a huge issue between that front of our body, those hip flexors being strong, and our gluteal muscles being weak. One of the best ways to test this is, can you do a squat? I would say about half of my patients cannot do a squat properly. And by that, I mean, they might be able to go down and come back up, but I'm going to see their knees go in. I'm going to see them really use their back to kind of throw themselves back up once they get down. Or I see them not go down as far. Because a proper squat, you should be able to almost get your butt to the ground, at least getting your butt towards your ankles. It sounds crazy, but that's the way it should be. And when you go down like that, you should be able to come right back up because you're going to fire your gluteal muscles. A lot of us have weak glute muscles, and so our hip flexors take over. And if we've got tight hip flexors because we're coming off of being at work all week, and then we go out on the weekend to go hit up a mountain bike ride or something, well, guess what? You might end up with pain after your weekend warrior trip because you have this imbalance going on and you didn't work on releasing those hip flexors. So it might sound like I'm kind of blaming everybody for things here and that I'm perfect. And it's not, because as I said at the beginning of this podcast, I too have this issue. So what I noticed this week, and let me explain how it developed for me and what I needed to do to get myself out of pain. And mind you, I still have a little bit of pain right now. And I did it to myself. It's my own fault. But what I want you to keep in mind is that these things are not something that need to keep you from doing the things that you love. Because I see so many people out there going, oh my gosh, I got back pain after going mountain biking and that's it. I gotta quit doing mountain biking. I've got to quit doing this. I got to quit doing that. And then they become sedentary because they have pain. Well, guess what? The pain is not something that's going to kill you here. I'm not talking about spinal issues, and I'll talk about that a little bit in the end here, how to know whether it is a spinal issue, like a disc issue, versus whether it's a muscular issue. And for all intents purposes, the way to know, shoot, I'll just go into it now because that'll be easier. To know if you have a disc issue, one of the best ways to go about it is to lay on the floor and lift your leg up from the floor. So lifting it up in the air, one at a time. If you can't get over 10 degrees of that leg to be lifted up without pain, we're looking at a possible disc issue. Same thing, both sides. Try it on your other leg. If one leg's fine and the other leg has issues when you're trying to bring that leg up in the air, you definitely want to get to your doc and get them to look at you. Another big thing that I oftentimes will look at is if someone presses on the top of your head and compresses you down, if the pain increases and shoots down the leg, yes, that's a possible disc issue. A lot of times when we have back pain and when it's due to the pelvis, a lot of folks are going, oh my gosh, it's got to be my nerve. I've got to have a disc issue, because they feel that nervy, burning, shooting pain coming from their glute and going down their leg, which most of us kind of know as sciatica. Well, guess what? That's oftentimes because your muscles are tight. Those glute muscles became tight to counteract how tight the front of your hip muscles were. And so it's this balance game. And what ends up happening is they compress your nerves. Most of the time, I do not see disc issues in my practice. And what I typically tell folks is that if it is a disc issue, it's not going to respond to massage. It's not going to respond to acupuncture, physical therapy, chiropractic. You need someone to at least try those things first, then go get the x-ray, the MRI. X-ray is not going to, by the way, diagnose a disc issue. MRI will, but typically insurance waits. So we've got to go the X-ray first and see if anything's out of alignment. Then if that's not the case and there's not any narrowing or things of that nature that could be the other cause of your pain, then it's going to go to the MRI. But typically I really get folks to try to work with their muscles first, because 9 times out of 10, it's your muscles, not a disc issue. And that goes hand in hand with so many people getting surgical cases so they have surgery and then it doesn't work. It's usually because it's a muscle issue. So that being said, let's take a look at who I see in my practice that typically have issues. Like I said, the folks that sit in the desk all the time, that's a biggie. Folks who like video gaming, hands down, we got a lot of pain there. Teenagers, I'm seeing a ton of teenagers with low back pain, and it's sedentary lifestyle, sitting there playing the video games. Not that video games are horrible, but come on, let's get out and play. What happened to that? That's another podcast for another day. All right, runners, big issue there. Low back pain is super common in runners who do not take care of their pelvis. And by that, I mean folks who are not working on rolling out their muscles, stretching out their muscles, working on imbalances. Because most people, I can't tell you how many times I've been in marathons and ran in marathons and watched people run and cringed. We don't learn how to run properly. There's no school for that. We don't come with a manual on how to run. And basically, we start running with all these imbalances. And that's where we start to have issues. I can't tell you how many of my patients who are runners have really tight hip flexors, really tight IT bands, and have the weakest glutes I've ever seen in my life. If you're gonna start running, you need to see a physical therapist or a trainer who is trained in functional movement assessment. You need to know how you move. You need to know what weaknesses you have, because if you're gonna go out there and be like, hey, I wanna run a marathon, yeah, that's great. But if you have weaknesses, you are going to screw yourself up so bad. It's horrible. It's horrible. And then what ends up happening is there's this phenomenon I see in my practice. Ladies in their 20s, before they have children, get all crazy about, I'm going to run marathons. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get in shape, blah, blah, blah. So then they go run all these marathons. They don't deal with their imbalances. Their pelvises are tight. They have children. And then things become worse. They have vulvodynia. That is pain in their vulva. So that's pelvic pain. And that's not fun. That's clamping down of their pelvis, and oftentimes really painful sex, but also really painful to run, walk, move. It's like they have this chronic butt cramp all the time that wakes them up in the middle of the night. It's incredible. And I'm saying butt cramp, it's butt, it's glute, it's also in the perineum, so in between groin area. This is horrible. It's a horrible, horrible thing. And so going back to my moral of the story today is take care of that pelvis, get it figured out, make sure you know before you're going to start running what your weaknesses are. Or if you're someone who likes to run, figure out what the issue is first. Make sure that you know if you've got weaknesses and work on those. There's way too many people out there that their only source of exercise is running. And believe me, I like to run too, but here's the thing. I don't do it exclusively. I swap it out. I like to swap things out and cross train, and that's what cross training is for. So keep that in mind. And for me, I mean, I'm not running marathons anymore, but it's something to keep in mind that if you are interested in wanting to keep running for life, which I do think is huge, because you need to be able to at least run a block or two, no matter what, and at whatever age you are, just to escape from bears or people chasing you, or basically just for physical fitness, that is a gauge of it. But you need to have the proper strength in all of your muscles to do it so you don't jack up your back. So a lot of people also tend to roll their hamstrings, they'll roll their glutes, they'll not roll their hip flexors. It hurts. Rolling your hamstrings hurts, rolling the front of your hips hurts. And so a lot of people will skip it. Don't skip it. That's another thing I see in my practice. The other big thing is a lack of mobility in the hips. And I mentioned this in my last podcast, because so many people, their ankles don't move, and then that's going to transfer up to their hips not moving. And I think this is a little bit of what happened to me this week. I noticed that and I should say last week more so, last week I noticed my hips felt really tight. And so I was working on trying to release them. I always work on my ankles. I always work on my lower legs. But I wasn't spending as much time as I should have because my week was a little bit busy. And there I am, busted. I just didn't spend enough time. And that's something to keep in mind is that if you feel tight, work on that area till it doesn't feel tight. You might have to spend a couple more minutes because oftentimes in my podcast, I'm saying 5 minutes, 10 minutes at the most of these areas, and that's maintenance. But if you have something actively going on, this is when you need to look back into it and go, okay, I need to work on, you know, releasing that hip flexor a little bit more. Now, the other thing I was doing wrong, and I fully call myself out on this, is I knew my front of my hips were tight. And so I was working a lot on my front of my hips and I wasn't working my glutes. And so right now, I'm currently feeling pain on the right side where that posterior superior iliac spine is. So that's my SI joint. I feel pain on my right side there. When earlier in the week, I actually had pain on my left side SI joint. And so I've kind of switched patterns in terms of what was going on. Now, another interesting component here is that my pelvis currently is twisted and one of my legs is longer than the other. My left leg is longer than my right leg. And coinciding with all of this, I had some running at the gym this week and I was on the bike a lot. I was riding the bike at the gym and I also went on a big mountain bike with my husband. I hadn't been mountain biking for a few months really prior to that. In fact, that's not even true. It was almost a year I hadn't been out mountain biking for. And so that I've been on the bike at the gym, but not out. So that being said, you get on a mountain bike and you haven't been on the mountain bike for a while. That's also getting you into some issues because you've got to look at how you're working that area and you've got certain muscles that are going to be used more, like your vastus medialis. So that's one of your hip flexors, not hip flexors, but it's one of your quad muscles on your leg on the inside. And so that is what I felt. That's where my hips started to become tight in the front. Is after our mountain bike ride, I worked on those, but I didn't work on my glutes. And then now I ended up with some issues with my SI joints. And so point being said here is that as soon as you notice something off that feels tight, focus on that, but you want to focus on everything around that joint. And my problem this week is that I didn't use the lacrosse ball getting into my greater trochanters. So this is that bone on the side of your hip. So if you have your hands on the top of your hips, the big wing bone there, and you slide your hands out and go kind of midline, right in line with the lateral side of your legs and just slide your fingers down, you're going to hit a bone on either side. It's the widest part of your hips. That is your greater trochanter, that bone on the side. Go to behind that bone and look and see where your glutes attach to that bone and see if you have knots. I didn't work that area and I didn't work along the sides of my pelvis. So when I say sides of my pelvis, I'm talking about the sides of my sacrum. That area, there's a lot of little nubbies there. Those areas, those attachments of your gluteal muscles, your piriformis, those guys all attach there. And if you don't release those when you're releasing your hip flexors, you're setting yourself up for pelvic issues. And I knew it, but I wasn't thinking. I was kind of like, oh, this isn't going to be any big deal. I'm just tight. Well, yeah, if I think about it, and now it's kind of realization, big one here for me is I haven't been on a mountain bike in a year. Well, go figure. Hello. So there you go. Public service announcement here. If you haven't done something for a year, you go and do it. You might want to work all the muscles around where you're feeling tight in that particular area. That being said, if you have an area that's tighter in one day than another, work that whole joint, work all around it. That's what I needed to do. I didn't do it. And last night we went on another little bike ride around town with the dog, and I went to go do some handstand walks at a local park because I like doing them there because it's soft, it's turf. And so anyway, I went up to do one, kicked up with my right leg, and then when I came back down, this right leg tweaked, so I transferred my pain in the left side to the right side. And so I spent all last night working on releasing my side of my sacrum, everything around my greater trochanter, my IT band, my hip flexor. And today I'm feeling better. Granted, it's not peachy keen. I had to add in my magnesium. So if you listen to any of my other podcasts, I upped my magnesium and upped my glycine for recovery here. And then today I'm spending time and probably like about 10 minutes on the front of my side or front of my pelvis, about 5 minutes on the side and about another 10 minutes on the back again to get things released. And I'm putting heat on it first. Notice I'm saying heat. Please don't put ice on things unless it's like an acute injury that you really just totally sprain something that's swollen. If it's not swollen and it's something you've done before, it's hurt before, don't put ice on it. Ice just numbs the area and stops blood flow to it. You want blood flow to an area that you have chronically injured. You want blood flow there to help with moving the area. The only time that ice really and heat combined is great is if you've got a little swelling and it's a spot that, you know, heat just isn't feeling that great. Ice feels better. Okay, fine. 30 seconds of cold, 3 minutes of hot, alternate that. That's called contrast hydrotherapy. And typically what I'll do is I'll do 3 rounds and ending on the cold. So it's much like you're flushing the area. You bring the blood in by putting the heat there. You shut the blood flow down by bringing the cold in. And what it's doing is bringing in inflammatory proteins and then flushing them out, bring them in, flush them out. And so it's like a radiator flush to the area that you have hurt. And in my case right now, heat is what I'm doing because it's a chronic issue for me. I just need to soften that tissue up and then work to release it. So you might be thinking, if you haven't listened to any of my other podcasts, why is this a chronic issue for me? Well, I used to run for years and years, and I was a marathon addict, and basically, I never took care of my pelvis because I didn't know that I needed to do it. And so here I am now with some sacroiliac joint issues. Not to mention, I've taken a ton of crashes on mountain bikes over the years, some really good doozies, and I've fallen skiing and snowboarding more times than I care to admit. And I've fallen just walking because I'm clumsy. So there you have it. Now you know. So if you're a person like me where you've had some crashes or you're just straight up clumsy, it's one of those things that you need to take a look at your pelvis because it's your root. It holds you. It keeps you in alignment. And just like your shoulder girdle, it's an alignment thing. And if you have had any injuries, even to your feet or ankles or knees, you're going to have some pelvis issues. And if you're just breathing, you're going to have imbalances. And so it's really smart to learn what your imbalances are. And for most of us, it's gluteal weakness, in particular glute minimus, glute medius, and gluteus maximus for a lot of folks. So I really highly encourage you to get out there and do a squat test. Have someone look at your functional movement. I do it every year just to have someone see what my weaknesses are. And then I spend time working on those. And I know that my posterior chain or the back half of my body is weak and I need to work on it. So chances are yours might be as well because it's quite common. So another big thing, if you've listened to my podcast before, you know that I am an acupuncturist as well. That is huge. I think acupuncture and cupping when you've got a locked up pelvis is huge. In fact, for most people with low back pain, I don't even work on their back very often. I work on the pelvis because the muscles there are what are the problem. Your back muscles are only tight because they're trying to support you because your pelvic muscles went on the fritz and spasmed. I do think that chiropractic adjustments are awesome to put the pelvis in alignment, especially if you notice that your pelvis is twisted. So you've got one side turning forward and you've got the other side going backward. And that's going back to earlier in the podcast when I said when you lay on the floor, it doesn't feel like your sacrum, so your backbone, is laying on the floor evenly. That is a twisted pelvis. Now, huge public service announcement on this one. If you're going to go to a chiropractor, make sure you've had massage or acupuncture or something, or you're doing your own releases with a lacrosse ball or a foam roller or something before you go into the chiropractic, because if you just get an adjustment done, those muscles are going to pull that bone right back out of alignment, pull your pelvis right back out of alignment. So you want to make sure that if you do go in for an adjustment, you've got someone working on your tissue because it won't hold. Another big thing is if you have chronic low back pain and you've identified even today that your pelvis has got some issues, whether it's pain, whether it's trigger points, so tender spots, you might even notice you have knots along your sacrum or knots along the side of your body or your IT band, that band along the side of your legs is super tight and painful. you want to be working on loosening up your pelvis. And my most favorite way to loosen the pelvis just in general every single day, and right now, if you had a video on me, I would be doing it for you, is my hip circles. And I say mine, they're actually from a pelvic floor physical therapist named Brianne Grogan. FemFusionFitness.com is her website. She's a rock star. She has helped so many of my patients with getting their pelvises to relax and not be a cause of their back pain. It's huge. I do these hip circles while I drive for long drives. I actually was doing them last night in bed because my pain was hurting a little bit. And so they're amazing for helping with loosening the pelvic floor. Now, and your pelvic muscles. And guys, yes, her website's Femme Fusion Fitness. She is geared towards ladies, but she also has some guy videos in there too. Check her out, Brianne Grogan, FemFusionFitness.com. She's awesome. And it's like my go-to in addition to working on rolling out my hip flexors and rolling out my glutes and all their attachment points. I actually, in my office in between patients, will do hip circles just because it feels good and it helps throughout the day because I'm up and down all the time. My office actually has stairs and I go up and down between the rooms. It's a great workout, but boy, I mean, it's tight on my body and I even have my assistant working her hip circles as well. And hey, you know what? They're fun. And if you're embarrassed, whatever, go lock yourself in your room or do them in the shower or go in the bathroom at work and get the hip circles going. I have folks who sit at a desk all day long, hip circles. That's what you need to do. And literally just kind of working around like you're doing the hula and do both sides, one to the right, one to the left, do like 10 on each side and call it good. And that's hip circles. So even if your back's hurting right now, I guarantee that if you do a little bit of hip circles, just gently moving around, you're going to find that it's extremely helpful. So another biggie here that I talk about a lot in my practice is gua sha. And I've talked about it in the podcast too. It's using a jade tool that scrapes. It doesn't sound very pleasant, but it's working to scrape the tissue and work to break up adhesions. And so if you noticed today when you were poking around on your greater trochanters, so those are those bones that are the widest part of your hip, or if you notice that you've got some knots along the sides of your sacrum, work on those with, you can use a gua, so a soup spoon, an Asian soup spoon. Use the spoon portion of it, not the handle portion of it, and just press in and lightly rock. It's going to hurt a little bit, but you know what? It's going to help to break up adhesions, and that works better than the lacrosse ball for breaking up adhesions. I absolutely love that tool. It's also in my arsenal of things to have on hand to help with keeping your pelvis moving properly so that you don't have low back pain. So, summing it up, what do you need in your toolbox? I typically have folks get a lacrosse ball, the gua sha tool, so G-U-A-S-H-A, jade. They're like $9.99, between $5.99 and $9.99 on Amazon. You can't go wrong. You can get a pink one, you can get a green one, whatever color suits your fancy. Doesn't matter, both colors work just fine. Or get a soup spoon. They're 99 cents at World Market. Use the spoon portion. Get the melamine one. Don't get the ceramic because I don't want anyone breaking it. That's not going to be good. Get a foam roller and go and watch FemFusionFitness.com. Go and watch her videos on there for pelvic floor releases and also her hip circles. You can just type in hip circles, Brianne, B-R-I-A-N-N-E, Grogan, G-R-O-G-A-N, FemFusionFitness.com. Just put that into YouTube and her videos will come up. They're cheesy, but you know what? Hey, the cheesy stuff works. And if you could see me right now, I'm doing my hip circles as we speak. And so those are the tools you need in your arsenal. The other thing to keep in mind is that your pelvis doesn't work alone. It works with your knees. It works with your ankles. It works with your feet. You got to work on keeping the feet moving properly and keeping the mobility going. Wiggle your toes. Use a lacrosse ball on the bottom of your feet. Work on your ankle mobility, work on your calves, don't let them get too tight, and then work on your hamstrings as well. Your hamstrings attach into your calves, and so that's going to help with them. You also could work on your hamstring attachments at the bottom of your glutes there, at your butt bones, get that area, and then you're going to be good to go. Now, and keep in mind, if you have an incident like I did where I noticed that I was feeling tighter in one area versus the other during the week, spend more time on that area and work all the way around that joint. work every single angle of it and look for trigger points. Look for spots that are like focused areas of pain. Those are huge, 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 because you can't go wrong if you're hitting a trigger point. Sometimes a muscle will spasm a little bit. Don't freak out. That's okay. Maybe it'll burn even while you've got the tool on there. That's okay. Let it go for a little bit. Just don't spend more than 20 minutes in a given time on these areas. You need to rotate around. Let the tissue rest. You might get bruising with the gua sha. You might get redness on the tissue surface. That's normal. Don't worry about it. The things you need to keep in mind, though, to know if, like, okay, I'm not going to be able to deal with this on my own. Something's wrong. If you have swelling of an area that does not go down, that's something to have someone take a look at. If you're losing function, so you're noticing that your foot is completely numb, and even with the gua sha, the lacrosse, all that, you're not able to get that back, you got to go see somebody. If you've had bowel function issues, so you lost control of your bowels, or if you are peeing yourself, if you got some urine issues, go to a doctor, please, because that means there's something more serious going on here. But if you're noticing improvement with a little bit of the releasing techniques that we've talked about here in the podcast, then keep going for it and work on getting those hip circles in. Look at the pelvic floor releasing. Even if you're a guy, don't be shy about it. Just because it says Femme Fusion Fitness doesn't mean that it's all for females. It's just geared towards females. But really take care of your body. Figure out what is tight, where the trigger points are, and work on those. Because most of our pain is not because of a nerve. It's because the muscle is cramping down and clamping down on that nerve. It's not necessarily a disc. It's usually muscular. And so if you can get those muscles moving, you can get them released, you can work on breaking up adhesions, because a lot of us have adhesions. So this is where your tendons are attaching to bones. Oftentimes they get sticky in there and things aren't moving. Open those up. That's huge. We also have these little sacs of fluid called bursa. These guys help our tendons to slide over each other, but sometimes those bursa get stuck in there because we're not using our muscles like we should because they're too tight, or we're not drinking enough water, which is another thing that is huge for making sure that your muscles are functioning properly. But these bursa need to move too. So I've talked about what you need in your arsenal. I've talked about what you want to do if things aren't going right, if you're not getting better, definitely by all means go see your doc. And the last thing is going back to hydration and electrolytes. Huge, huge thing is this week I actually thought about it a little and I wasn't as hydrated as I normally am too, because I was really busy at work and sometimes I will forget to drink enough water. And that's a huge thing to keep in mind. Highly recommend having my fitness pal or even the Fitbit thing that how they track your hydration. Note how much you drink. If you have to put it on a whiteboard or something, do that. It's huge because unfortunately a lot of us don't really realize how dehydrated we are. The other big thing is if it's warmer out and you're sweating because it's warm out, you got to drink more water. Also, electrolytes. If you're sweating, if you sweat at all, even if you had like a big workout at the gym and you had like a huge dump of sweat, you need to make sure that you replace your electrolytes. Oftentimes that's another big thing that we forget about. Or like my husband and I, we went out for the mountain bike ride last weekend. We had water on us, but we didn't have electrolytes, and it was about 90 degrees out, and we forgot about that. Same thing yesterday. It was hot. I didn't do any electrolytes yesterday. Probably one of the reasons why my muscle spasmed on me and caused my right side of my back to start hurting. And so these are huge things. And when I talk about electrolytes, you do not have to be fancy here. Gatorade has not fake sugar, but it's got artificial coloring in it. It's not the best thing in the universe. Oftentimes we'll take a half of a lemon or lime, squeeze it in some water, take a couple little grains of salt, throw it in there, take a little teaspoon of honey, mix it up. It's like homemade lemonade with a little saltiness to it, of course, but that's homemade Gatorade. It's good stuff. And it doesn't have all the artificial junk in it, because most of the electrolyte powders out there either have stevia in them or they have artificial colors. So something to keep in mind. So those two things are crucial, making sure you're getting in your magnesium as well. I also am going to admit that I failed to take a higher amount of magnesium. I was doing my 500 milligrams a day of the magnesium and my 3 grams of glycine to help with recovery from my workouts. But I didn't do it after my husband and I went on our mountain bike ride. And yesterday I totally remembered, oh gosh, I got to do it after this too, because it helps with relaxing my muscles and helping with repair. So
big thing there is magnesium glycinate, around 400 to 800 milligrams in the evening, about 2 hours before before bed. Yikes, Freudian slips. 400 to 800 milligrams of magnesium glycinate before bed, about 2 hours, and glycine, 3 grams of the powder in about 8 ounces of water, so 2 hours before bed. That is something that's crucial for recovery. So if you go out and hit it hard and you're say you're like a weekend warrior, you got to remember those things, because it's huge. And as you're getting older, your body doesn't recover as well as it used to when you were a teenager. So you got to give it some fuel and some recovery food. So that is what I failed to do last week. And that's kind of how I'm hoping I can help you not do what I do when I'm out and about and not thinking through things straight. So what am I about to do about my back from here on out? Well, I can do acupuncture on myself. And sometimes my husband will do it for me. It's hard to get to my back. I did do some today on myself. But I am going to get one of my girlfriends to do some needles on me this week. And I'm going to get some massages this week too, just to have some added help. So keep in mind, a lot of us, I think that massages are a luxury. No, they're huge for keeping you functioning. And yes, you can do the lacrosse ball and you can do the gua sha and you can take care of yourself. But sometimes it's really nice to have someone else get in there, because they're going to get a little deeper than you would. And so keep in mind that those tools are out there. Acupuncture is huge for helping with relaxing pelvic pain. And it's probably, my friends are going to cringe on this, but it's probably my favorite. I love to have acupuncture more than massage, but that's me. And cupping. Cupping is huge. If you can get someone to do some cupping on you, oh, heaven. So go out there, see what kind of folks are in your community if you don't already have someone around, and get a hold of them and get them helping you out, and pay attention to where you hurt on a daily basis. Do a check-in. I know sometimes this is what happened to me. I got busy this week. I was focusing on my patients and not myself. We always got to put ourselves first, focus, do system check-ins every single day, see what hurts, see what's tight, focus on those areas while working the rest of the body. Just give a little more attention to the area that's tight and the joint all the way around it and that whole chain down from it. So if it's the hip, go all the way down the knee, ankle, foot. Make sure you don't skip anything. And it'll keep you moving, and you won't end up like me in the last 24 hours of some pretty good grief. Because I'm sure if you've had low back pain or any SI joint pain, it's not fun. It hurts. It's hard to get up and down stairs. It's hard to get up and off the toilet. Yeah, you don't want to have to ask someone to get you up and off the toilet. My husband had to help me last night. That's so embarrassing. So, public service announcement. Focus on yourself. Take care of yourself. Take care of your pelvis. Don't ignore it. It is a big player in back pain and your overall stability. So if you miss anything from my last two episodes on the ankle and knee, make sure you go back to those. That's episode, oh my goodness, that would be the episode on the feet and the episode on the ankles. And those are huge. My last two ones, make sure you've got those guys dialed in, because you need to take care of the whole chain from the feet on up. They're all linked together, whether you like it or not. And so from this episode, we're going to move on to some more issues that I'm seeing in my practice in terms of questions I get from patients. So stay tuned for my next episode. We are going to be going into medical marijuana and the questions that I see from patients and my opinions and personal experience with CBD and THC, and what I think in terms of what is safe and what is useful for certain conditions. All right, I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. This has been another episode of The Health Fix. If you want to know more about me, go over to my website at drjkrausend.com. I've got some great resources for you over there. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.
Thanks for tuning into The Health Fix, the podcast all about taking control of your health, rebelling against aging, and having fun every day. A lot of patients ask me, do you think I'm aging too fast? So, I created an evaluation checklist for you to see for yourself. Plus, I created a resource guide to help you slow down the aging process right now. You can find it for free on my website, drjkrausend.com. If you like this podcast, help get the word out to others by liking it and rating it. If you'd like more natural health tips and want to join our Facebook community where I interact daily, click on the Join Group button on our website at drjkrausnd.com.